One of the dangers that you will fall into is wanting a man, a preacher, a prophet, to prophesy to you, to lay hands on you, that the anointing that they carry will break the things in your life. And that works good at conference, but it doesn't work good at home. And I tell you what works, what every young person, young man and woman need to go through is a time where they decide who they want to be. And they reach down deep and they fight the pride of their life. And they say, God, I'm yours. I will do whatever I need to do to be your child, to be holy, to be pure. There's no condemnation in failing. Everyone fails. But there's a pride that has to be broken. That says, I want to be fixed, but I don't want to fight for it. I just want to have someone pray for me. I don't want to have to fight my inside and make it submit my will to His. And inside of each of you in this building, you have a will that's fighting against God. You don't need a prophet tonight, or we will minister to you, I promise. We'll have people pray for you tonight. We'll do all those things. But for those who are up here and those who want to come up here still, there's only one real answer for you, and that is to reach down into your heart and come back with a heart of worship that says, I am not going to stay where I'm at. I'm not going to let depression or self-pity or my past failings stop me. I'm not going to let selfishness or ambition sidetrack me. I am going to worship you with all of my heart. It may be a messed up heart. It may be a broken heart, but it's your heart, and if you worship Him with that heart, you'll find He'll bathe you in His love and His presence. So we're going to keep singing that just the way we are. And I'm asking you to reach down into your heart and to pull out worship that says, God, I'm yours. I give up. I give up. I give up. I give up trying to fix things. I give up trying to strive for things. I give up trying to be perfect. I give up trying to get my way. I give up. And I break myself upon you. It says if the rock falls on you, you'll be broken. But you can choose to fall upon the rock. Let's break our hearts the right way. Let's break our pride tonight. Let's break our loneliness and our hurts and our past. And let's break them on the rock of Christ. And say, I'm yours, Jesus. And I'm not going to stop. You can't make me stop. The devil can't make me stop. I'm going to live my life serving you and following you. As we sing this again, go into God. He's right there in front of you right now. What you don't need tonight, right now, is an anointing or someone to lay hands on you to prophesy to you. You need the comfort of your Father and the courage to know that you're going to make it. You haven't failed enough to make Him leave you. He believes in you. You're going to leave here tonight with courage and hope. Let's sing it again. Jesus. Now say this with me. Say, Father, I'm yours. I give up. I belong to you. You purchased my life. It's not my life to live. It's your life. I choose to be yours. Everything about me, I give you right now. I give you my future. I give you my spouse. I give you my dreams. I give you everything. It's all yours. I choose to obey you, to love you. I worship you. Tonight, I leave here free from all my past, free from depression. My life is no longer mine. It's yours. Thank you for loving me so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, we're going to have another prayer line at the end. See, I've been where you've been many times, and I've learned that when I get down to the bottom of my heart and I give my life to Him, my emotions can be telling me I'm a failure. My world can be telling me I'm not going to make it. I might as well give up. I might as well quit. You have no idea how many hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times I woke up with that thought. And what I did was what we did tonight. Was I stopped and said, God, I'm not perfect, but I'm yours. See? And I encouraged my heart in Him. You're not broken. I mean, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not messed up. You're not too far. You just have to grab hold of your heart and say, heart, you listen to me. I don't listen to you. You listen to me. We're going to follow God. We're going to obey God, and we're going to make it. So shut up and do what you're told. Quit telling me I'm a loser. Quit telling me I'm a failure. Quit telling me I'm ugly. Quit telling me I'm fat. Quit telling me. Just shut up and do what you're told. You're going to make it. You're going to make your calling. You're going to make your future. You're going to get free from these things. You're going to overcome these things. So you have to tell your heart to be quiet. So say this with me again. Say, Father. Let's try this again. Say, Father, I'm yours. I'm going to make it. I will overcome these things. And I will win. I'm yours. Thank you for loving me so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We will pray for you in the end, I promise. But I have a pet peeve about ministers and people who look to men too much. You forgive me, but I've been kind of through a lot of man-made ministries, man-made emotionally driven services. I've heard too many prophecies and too many things that sound good and make you feel good, but they don't produce much fruit. I want to start by telling you how much we love you, how proud we are that you're here. Give yourself a big hand clap for being here tonight. You know, the prayer center is a unique place in the world, and we want to do our best to express how much we really do love you and how much we believe in you. You are the future of the prayer center and the message. Pastor Dave is 70 years old. Gary is almost 70 years old. Tim is in his 70s years old. That means in 20 years, they won't be traveling around the world preaching. Well, we need someone to travel around the world and preach the message. Might as well be you. Amen? We need someone to express the love and to know the word and to be an example. Might as well be you. So we believe in you. The prayer center has two teachers. Say two. Now there's a lot of us who preach at the prayer center and teach at the prayer center and are part of the prayer center. There's Pastor Brong, there's Pastor Jim, this conference, myself, there's Mark and different ones who may preach from the podium. And then we have a whole place full of preachers. But there's only two men that we hold on to tightly as the ones who set the doctrine for the prayer center. Who can tell me who they are? Gary Carpenter and Dave Roberson. Amen? So I'm saying this because that is the foundation of doctrine that we believe in. What they have produced out of their prayer time and the beliefs that they produced is what we receive, and then the Holy Ghost can build upon that. It's not the final doctrine, but how many know it's the foundation? So here's what I'm asking you to do. Is it's important for you to learn as much as you can from those two men as possible. Now you'll find there's lots of other preachers in the world, and every preacher will have something good to say. I've learned lots from many different preachers, not just from Pastor Dave and Gary. But they're the two that we trust in what they believe. Now, I wasn't meaning to say this, but I think it's important. The Holy Ghost is your main teacher. The Holy Ghost will teach you everything you need to know about yourself and about your calling and about the Word of God. But there's some things you can learn from other people. Okay? So, if you don't have the messages of Pastor Dave, what I did with the Born Again Trail, how many have listened to the Born Again Trail? Good job. What I did was I went through the Born Again Trail tape by tape and I took notes. And I was amazed about how much truth. See, truth is truth, whether it comes from the Holy Spirit or it comes from Pastor Dave or it comes from a donkey, it doesn't matter. If it's truth, God will use it in your life the rest of your life. And once you get a nugget of truth, if it's real truth, it'll stay with you forever. When God began to promote me, I said, oh, this is great. God's blessing my faithfulness. Hallelujah. And the Lord spoke to me and said, no, I'm not blessing your faithfulness. He said, it's the truth in you. In other words, what he was saying was, he wasn't promoting Alan at all. It was God in Alan that he was promoting. He's promoted himself in me. See, I believe in you. Pastor Dave believes in you. Gary believes in you. Tim believes in you. You're here because you love those men and you love the message of the prayer center. I know that. I'm proud of you for coming and taking your money to come. Man, when I used to have to get youth to go somewhere, or young people as a youth pastor, we'd have 15 fundraisers. We'd have to rent a bus. We'd have to make a stop at an amusement park. take care of everything and then bribe them to come. So we know that you're hungry for God. You're more hungry than just a pat on the back and go get them. You're hungry for the real thing. And I don't want you to waste your time, because you can waste your time pursuing the real thing and never really get it. You might as well do it right the first time. You say amen. So what I did was I got hold of the Born Again Trail and I took notes as I read. And that became the foundation. You know, Pastor Dave makes fun of me because I'll come up with a great revelation that I'll teach you here at the prayer center. And I'll be so proud. Man, I can't believe God showed me this. This is awesome. I'm going to wow them. This, you know, they'll be so impressed with what God showed me, you know. And I'll preach my heart out and preach this deep revelation that I got. And then Pastor Dave will make fun of me because he taught it 13 years ago or 15 years ago. And it was on one of the tapes I listened to a long time ago. At least the basics of it was, you know. But see, that truth got in me. And it helped me to overcome. I am not the man I'm supposed to be because of truth. Most of the church world wants you to go and do things. They want you to be busy. They want you to go do things. Some of you have already had a taste of that, you know, productivity. When I came to the prayer center, I went up to meet with Pastor Tim, and I said, "Now, Pastor Tim, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here too, Alan." I said, "Now, I'm here. I'll submit to you." He said, "Oh, no. You don't need to submit to anyone." I said, What? "No, I'm supposed to tell you, I submit to you," and you're supposed to say, "Okay, good." And he said, "Oh, no, you don't need to submit to anyone here. You learn to hear God on your own." And then I went to Gary, and I said, "Okay, I'm ready to go to work. Give me something to do. Let's go win the city. Come on, let's go." And Gary did his dance. I call the mentor dance. You know, it's like, "Nope, get your hands off me. Don't touch me." I said, "You go to the prayer closet. That's what you do. Holy Ghost will give you instructions." It was easier to do things and be busy than it was to sit and pray and seek Him. And as you learn this message, you're going to find that you will be probably judged by other people's opinions and other people's ideas. Now, you're young, so we expect you to be humble. Say humble. If you're under 30, you might as well just know you're not very smart. Once you get 30, you probably get one smart cell in your brain. Then every year from then, you get an extra smart cell. You know, when you get to 40, they double. You get like 2 smart cells a year. You know, I thought I knew everything when I was your age. And then I look back and thought, man, I didn't know anything. You got a lot of growing and learning to do, and you can learn something from everybody. So it's important that you stay humble as you learn truth. Okay? Because knowledge is only a part of truth. Love is a bigger part of it than just knowledge. Knowing, becoming it, and having the maturity to handle truth takes time. And one of the dangers that I watch the prayer center young people fall into is they start to disconnect from everyone and think, "I don't have to listen to anyone because I know what the truth is." You know, I remember Gary taught on the tithe that you don't have to tithe under the law. And it was amazing because there was churches all over that I knew who came to me and asked me, said, "I have this couple in my church that always cause trouble. And they got this tape from Gary Carpenter and they're passing it around my church saying you don't have to tithe under the law." Well, see, that's not Gary's heart. Gary Carpenter's heart is not to destroy churches or not to cause trouble in churches. It's to teach the truth that it's good to give to the gospel, but not because you're afraid of a curse. Well, these people who got a nugget of truth were using it in pride, so they wouldn't have to listen to someone who God put in authority. I have a saying, it's easier to catch flies with honey than it is with vinegar. You know, there's people in your life who you want to reach. They're not going to be reached because you know something. So you're not going to win the city because you know something. You're going to win the city because you become something. See? When you become mature, people will respect you and want to listen to you. See? I watched a lot of people perform acrobats in church, you know. Been to a few meetings with people doing flips and flipping out and jumping up and down and jerking and, you know, yelling and hollering. And, you know, it's okay. But I found that a lot of times the reason people do that is because they haven't grown in the way they're supposed to. So they're looking for a reason to be respected, to looked up to. And so there's something about when you act a certain way in a service, when you talk a certain way as a preacher, that can make you make people look up to you, because now I'm more spiritual than you are. One service I was in, I was the usher. The preacher came down and he said, "Oh, my foot is stuck in this place. An angel must be here. Can you see it? I can see it. I can feel it. You come up here." And someone ran up there, and as soon as they touched that place, poof, they fell out. People started running and just falling out. Well, I'm the usher, so I'm trying to catch people. They're falling out, and I'm trying not to touch that spot. Because if I touch that spot, I'll probably fall out too. Well, someone bumped me while I was catching him, and I fell right through the whole angel spot. And nothing happened to me. I didn't see any. People said they saw things and heard. I didn't see anything or hear anything. What do you think that made me feel like? Well, you're not very spiritual, man. You know what I've learned? It's all fake. Or it's the devil. See, there's nothing. I taught this on Monday. No one should make you feel less spiritual than they are. I was going to teach on all this, but we'll keep going because you must be more mature than you're putting on. You have a great future ahead of you if you'll seek Him. Seek truth. And above all, seek maturity. Here's what I heard a world-renowned healing evangelist say on TV. They're interviewing her. Has wonderful miracles. Wonderful lady. I've never met her personally, but I've heard great reports of her. But on this interview, they say, well, it must be awesome for God to, for you to watch God do so many miracles in your ministry. And she gave a very nice answer at first. She said, yes. You know, it is wonderful. I feel very humbled to see what God does. And she said, it's really not me. I said, amen, amen. And then she said, but, you know, I'm just a little person, nothing. God just does it because He's God. And see, there was something in what she said that bothered me. Because, see, there's a message that goes around, that's going around very strongly, that says you, God loves you the way you are. How many can say amen to that? He loves you despite your sins. How many can say amen to that? Despite your struggles, you're still His child. Amen. But what this part of the message where it gets twisted is it says that God wants to use you without you growing. And their whole ministries and whole groups of Christians who are learning how to flow with the Holy Ghost. They learn how to listen. They learn how to walk in power. They see miracles. But they're not dealing with maturity. If you meet them 10 years from now, they'll be just as immature as they were 10 years ago. See? And where the danger is, I've watched hundreds and hundreds of ministers fail and lose their ministries because they didn't grow up and mature. They just learned how to flow and let God work around them. See, God doesn't want to flow around you. He wants to work through you, with you, participate with you. He wants you to mature and grow and become holy, become love, become all these things. And they'll fight you when you argue because they want God to use them just the way they are. They don't want to deal with themselves. They don't want to deal with pride or selfishness or they don't want to deal with anything, lust or any of these things. They want God to use them just the way they are. They don't want to grow up. But you know where you get most of your peace from? Most of your joy is when you grow up. Because it becomes part of you. It's in you. It's not something you receive from God every day. It's who you are. That's why the message that I love of the prayer center is slow down. Go pray. Go spend time with God. Read your Bible. I mean, I don't know why people get angry sometimes at the message of the prayer center. It sounds like Sunday school. Read your Bible. Pray. Worship God. If I were your pastor, I would say it would be nice for you to be humble. It would be nice for you to pursue maturity. I would be proud to see you without the pride or arrogance of knowledge. Because what does knowledge do? It puffs up. It'd be nice to see you humble. What I tell some of our young guys around here is, you need to pray. You need to work a job to pay your bills. You need to do your things that cause you to grow. You need to serve. You need to be involved where you don't get rewarded, and you need to go have fun. Because you can get so excited about spiritual things, you miss out that a spiritual thing is no more important than a natural thing. I'll say it again because that was good. A spiritual thing, say that with me, say a spiritual thing is no more important than a natural thing. That was pretty good. We'll say that again. A spiritual thing is no more important than a natural thing. If you're not faithful in the little things, you won't be faithful in the big things. If I'm not faithful in the little things, I won't be faithful in the big things. How many feel called to ministry? How many feel called to maybe a pulpit ministry? All right. Whatever you're called to, you're called. But see, if you're not faithful to the little things, you won't be faithful in the big things. One day God's going to use me. I'm going to raise the dead and cast out devils, and God will send me around the world. Great, but will you show up when it's no fun? Can you serve and be a part of something when you don't get rewarded or patted on the back? Oh, I'm preaching mean now, I know. Can you be humble when people don't recognize you? See, it's easy to serve. I remember when I worked at Burger King. Yes. I worked at Burger King. I've been working since I've been 13, but my first job was a place called the Philippine Village. And some friends of mine's parents owned it. So at 13 years old, I worked on weekends and I got a share of the tips plus all the shrimp I could eat. And I washed dishes. Then I worked another job where I swept floors on weekends. And then in high school, I got a job building bikes and pushing carts at a Walmart type. It's called Canadian Tire. And then after high school, I started to intern at a church, which meant they didn't pay you anything, but you got to do all the work. And actually what happened was they said, we want to hire you and pay you this money to be an intern when I was 18. And then they came back 2 days later and said, well, we figured out we can't afford to pay you. I said, that's okay. I'm living in a home. I can live cheap. I said, I don't want money to be the reason why I don't learn something. I said, I'll do it for free. And I got a job working at Canadian Tire. At Burger King. I worked from 10 p.m. till 6 in the morning. I had to be at the church at 8 a.m. every Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday, I got there at 8, and I was there at the church till about 2 o'clock. And then from 2 till about 8 or 9, I'd go home and sleep. And then I'd get up and go to work. And I did that every day. And on Wednesdays, I did youth. I helped out with the youth. And I helped out from 7 till 9:30. And every day we had to do intern stuff. If you don't know what intern is, it means you do all the work. All the work that no one else wants to do. But I want to learn about ministry. And I remember while we were working at Canadian Tire, at Burger King, and it was 10 o'clock, the restaurant closed. I was a drive-thru guy. You meet all the funny people at night going through. But we had a real lazy manager. He would let us make our own French fries and make our own milkshakes. And we didn't have to clean very hard. And he went on vacation for 2 weeks. And they brought in the hardest manager. And he was in there just beating us up. You guys are lazy. We didn't know. I didn't know. And I started to work really hard. I'll never forget, someone came in to Burger King, one of the guys who I was working with. The manager left, and I was working really hard. And he came in, and I was working really hard, this new manager. I was trying to please him. And then he left, and I was working really hard, and this other guy came over and said, you're just a big kiss-up. I said, why? He said, look how hard you're working. Just kiss up. And I thought about it. I said, I'm not a kiss up. I was mopping. And then it dawned on me. Because I'm the kind of guy where I'm witty, but I'm usually witty like 2 hours too late. But he was still there 2 hours later. So I went and I said, hey, I'm not the kiss up. I said, the kiss up is a guy who only works hard when the boss is here. I said, that's you. So the guy that works hard when the boss isn't here is not the kiss up. There was another guy that I worked with, and he was deaf in his ear. I was 18, and I heard a preacher say, you need to pray for the sick, they'll get healed. And he was a Mormon boy. I said, you know, if I pray for you, you're going to get healed. So he said, okay, pray for me. So right there in work, I prayed for him. He fell out. Oh my God. Get up. And he got up and he was healed. But anyway, so I did that as I was seeking God and learning to serve God. And I'm so thankful because I was going to be in university. I was going to be a teacher. And God, I got a hold of God when I was 18. You can get to a place where you only pursue the good stuff. Your calling, preaching, ministering, laying hands on people, prophesying to people. But there should be no difference in your eyes to vacuuming the floor. Now, I know many of you don't have churches you can do that on in. But there should be no difference in your eyes to prophesying. Or see, and what my point I'm trying to get across is we have too many people. And Bronx said it when he preached. When he preached this morning, did you hear him preach this morning, Pastor Bronk? He stood up there behind the podium. He said, "This is not me." Do you remember when he did that? He said, "I'm so free because this." And when he said this, you know, he was talking about his calling. He said, "This is not me. Preaching is not my identity," is what he said. Now, not everyone's a preacher. Your work that you do for God should not be your identity. It should be what you do, but it's not who you are. Because then the only way you feel like you are His child is when you're doing things for Him. And if you put too much emphasis on spiritual things, you'll act spiritual just because you want to be looked up to. See, we want people to look up to us because they respect us. Because of love. Because of holiness. Because of maturity. Kindness, goodness. See, the fruit of the Spirit does not talk about miracles. Prophesying. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, long-suffering. See, those are things that people should look up to you for. Those are things we should aspire to. The other stuff is just the fruit. The miracles. John, where's John? You hear John? John's over in the corner. We just got back from Germany and Switzerland. He's got his t-shirt on from the youth in Brazil. There it is. 10 years ago, John was mowing yards, pulling weeds. I remember I got a phone call from him one time. He said, you told me that you helped me become a man of God. I said, yes. I'm out here pulling weeds in Brother Norville's garden. I said, yeah, and? What's your problem? There's so many preachers out there that bore me so bad. I'm so bored. They're entertainers. They use ministry as a way to win you over to them. They use ministry and the way they talk as a way to make you feel like you're less spiritual. How do I say this right? And it makes you submit to them. We're supposed to be brothers and sisters. We don't need to submit to anyone but Him. Now you can learn. See, the Bible tells the girls, says women, respect your husbands. Men, love your wives. It tells you that because man's natural language is respect. Women's natural language is love. A woman can fall in love with anything because they're a woman. That's why, girls, you don't need to be hanging around with boys. Because you're going to fall in love with them. That's how Greg got his wife. Just hung around Nina long enough and wore her down finally. We know that's how Alex got his. That's how I got mine. I'll never forget. I had one girl in my youth. She looked at this guy. Said, "Oh, he's ugly. That's the ugliest guy I've ever seen." And he was. And it was just like a week later, she's running down the hallway holding his hand. He's so cute. Women, you're nuts. You might as well get used to it. You'll fall in love with anything you spend time with. Puppy dogs, kitty cats, boys. Doesn't matter. So that's why, girls, you don't pick your boyfriend because you love him, because that doesn't mean anything. You can fall in love with anything. It says, women, respect your husbands. Because, see, men don't operate by love. We operate by respect. I can look at Pastor Richard over here, and I could go like this. And see, that was a 15-minute conversation in girls' language. See, right there. That's it. Man talk to each other through respect, not on love. Girls look at love. So what it says is, husbands, love your wife. Women, respect your husbands. In other words, husbands, learn to love. And if you're smart, you'll pick a girl because you love her. Girls, respect your husbands. But if you're smart, you'll pick him because you respect him. You say, this is a man that's going to father my kids. This is a man who will be responsible to pay my bills. So I want to pick him because I can see things I respect. Well, let me say this to you. Respect your preachers. Respect the people you let speak into your life. Not because they're more spiritual, not because they're more anointed, but because you respect them. You see things in them. You see love and peace and kindness and goodness. So you see things in them you want, not just because they have revelation. Not just because they're anointed. Not just because they walk in power. Not just because they have testimonies or they can read your mail or prophesy. Those are all things that you can do. The Old Testament saints did those. Look for things that matter. Am I preaching okay? See, there's one man that I respect. When I was with Dr. Norval Hayes, my first job was to pick up the guest speakers from the airport and drive them and entertain them for the week. So there's hundreds of guys that I got to spend time with. And out of all the men and women that we saw and met, when I traveled with Brother Norval, I got to go to the homes and eat dinner with many, many, many preachers. There's only two preachers out of all the hundreds and hundreds of preachers that I met, spent time with, that only talked about Scripture. Do you know who those two guys were? Kenneth Hagin Sr. and Dave Roberson. Everyone else talked about what they were doing. Do you know why I love Pastor Dave so much? Because I respect him. Now, I've been with Pastor Dave for a number of years and been blessed to be his sidekick on many different trips. Do you know, in all the thousands of hours we spent together, he's never prophesied over me. We've never been eating dinner. And Brother Pastor Dave says, oh, shut that up, oh, shut that up. I used to watch Kenneth Hagin Sr. and Norval Hayes. They were good friends, and I'd drive Brother Norval to Tulsa, and they'd go eat tacos at Doc Horton's house. And I'd get to sit at the end of the table and watch them eat. And you know what they talked about? Football, basketball, and God. They never prayed for each other except for a simple blessing or a greeting prayer. They never prophesied over each other. They never broke out and fell on the floor or jerked or you know, whoo, Brother Hagin, you're so anointed right now. I can feel the anointing. See, those are things that are for services. When you come to a service, you're coming to receive. But outside of the service, we feed off of love and off of maturity. Am I making my point okay? And so I would be proud of you if I didn't see you floating around the parking lot, praying for people, prophesying to people. Now, it's okay. I understand if God shows you something, you should be brave and give that. But how you give it is important. What's your name, honey, again?
Noel.
Noel? So I see Noel, and the Lord says, tell her that I love her. Now, I can come up to Noel and say, I was just walking by you, and I felt the word of the Lord. He wants to tell you, Shaka, that he loves you. Or I can just simply say, I want you to know that the Lord loves you. And I remove myself from taking credit for something he's doing. I'm learning how to preach better that way. You know, there's walking in the Holy Ghost, and I know when the anointing's on you heavy, you kind of slow down and learn to listen and operate. But there's a way to minister. I remember being taught how to lay hands on people, how to see, how to release the anointing. And I was taught how to make them, you, get up, come over here. 3 steps to the right and you're going to be healed. 1, 2, poof, they'd fall out. Say, come up, couple step, bam, there it is. Poof, and they'd fall out. That's how I was trained. I was taught how to do that. And I had fun services. I point my finger, poof, they'd fall out. We'd do the baseball one, here comes the anointing. Woo, poof. We had the shotgun one. You ever see a shotgun one? You're standing right there. Poof, and the guy behind you'd fall out. And I was all kinds of guys doing all kinds of stuff. And it's still anointing. It's still miracles and healings. Until the Lord didn't rebuke, the Lord said, you choose how to deliver the anointing. You choose how to deliver and minister. See, you choose. And the more I pray and the more I seek him, the more I want to get out of the way so that people will receive from him through me instead of from me for him. Does that make sense? I'd be proud of you if you were humble, stayed humble. That you can hang out as friends and go have fun and do stuff. And then do spiritual stuff on the side. You know, life isn't all about, I remember someone asked me, he said, you know, I've been praying 8 hours, but I really want to pray more a day. And I said, how many days off do you take off to do your seeking times? I said, well, I don't. I said, what? Pastor Dave takes off 30, 40 days and locks himself up in a room. I said, yeah, he's old. I said, I have kids. I can't lock, especially since I travel, especially, I can't lock myself away from them for 40 days. My kids would drive my wife crazy after 40 days. My wife would divorce me probably after 40 days. I want to find me a Baptist preacher, she would say. I can still seek him. I can still fast. I can still do everything and spend time with my family. My wife is not impressed with spiritual things. She's not impressed with revelation or praying in tongues or the anointing. She wants a husband. My kids, I don't even tell them I go to church. I tell them I go to work. I don't want them disliking church. Where are you going, Daddy, tonight? Where are you going, Daddy? I'm going to work. My kids, Harrison doesn't ever want me to pray for him. He wants me to wrestle with him. See? You have to learn to be both. And when you find your identity and your security in Him because of who you are, in your maturity and not because of what you do, you find peace every day when you wake up, when you go to sleep. You're no longer seeking Him for peace. It's in you. You're no longer seeking Him for joy. It's in you. It's who you are. See? And when you are secure in Him, you find that a lot of the other stuff that people do, you don't do. Okay. I really didn't mean to preach all this tonight. You are going to be the carriers of this in the future. It's good to learn now. There's a brokenness, a humility that's so important for every person. I can tell in a moment if someone will make it or not. And the number one thing I look for, you can strip away everything. And I want to tell you, the number one thing that every one of you need, every one of you, every one of us need, is brokenness, humility. If you get around me and on a minister level, there's some of you here who are involved with me in ministry areas, not just in preaching areas. This is preaching, so we're nice. But in ministry areas where you allow me to really train you and teach you, I will drive you crazy until you break. Because if you don't get to that broken place, you will build a world of serving God to please you rather than to please Him. It's easy to serve God when it's easy, when it's something you want to do. But when it's inconvenient, when it's when you don't want to do it, when it's not easy, what when God asks you to do something and you don't want to do it? Can you do it? Until you get there, until you get to that place of brokenness, you're in danger. I was talking to one man. He said he had his girl, his fiance, and they broke up, and they got back together and broke up and got back together. And finally she said, "Look, we're not going to do this again. You're going to get a ring on my finger or it's over." And he went to pray and he said, "The Lord told me that I was loving myself through her." And that was so deep to me. He said, "I was loving myself through her. And God had to deal with me to love her for her." See? And I find that most ministers that I've run into, and even myself for many, many years, use ministry as a way to actually love myself. I was ministering to you, but really I was loving myself through you. I was feeding myself through you. Is this making sense? But brokenness says, "God, I'm yours." See, one of the biggest struggles you have is not doing things, not moving forward in ministry. I'm from a little town in northern British Columbia. I was destined to fail. The Lord sent me to Cleveland, Tennessee after I started in ministry. And I went through 13 years of doing stuff I did not like. 13 years. I was the class president of our Bible college when I went to Norville Hayes' Bible College, 1993. I was supposed to go for 1 year. I had invitations. I was supposed to go start a church in Canada. I had the opportunity, was ready to go. All my friends in the Bible college knew I was the one to go start a church. The Lord wouldn't let me. 2 years went by. 3 years went by. I was a secretary. I was the best guy that of, you know, they take checks and you have to put receipts, and I was the best guy putting the receipts in the right place. I was a secretary for years. And people would come back to Tennessee to visit the school, and they'd come in and they'd say, what are you doing here? Aren't you pastoring or preaching out there? You're like already preaching. You're the most anointed. You're ready to go. Yeah. Excuse me while I finish my checks here. I would go home after 5 years or 6 years and 10 years of being down there, and back to Canada where I youth pastored successfully for 3 years. And the young people that I youth pastored, the young people who were like 15 and 16, had nice cars and homes and wives and children. And I'm driving my beat up old car, making no money, no wife, no kids, living in an eight guy house. I had to live in a house of eight guys so I could pay for my rent. It paid for my rent to look after the house. All to follow God. I had to do what we did up at the first of the service almost every day. I had dreams to minister, prophecies to minister. Knew I was going to travel the world and preach. Here I was washing cars and sweeping floors. My dreams died. It's because the Lord was teaching me, you don't chase your dreams. You don't chase your ministry. You chase Him. See, if you let your dreams die and your ministry die and your calling die and you chase Him, then one day He'll resurrect it for you and give it back to you. There's a brokenness that all of you need to go through where your life really is His. And Father, if I don't preach, if I never do my calling, that's okay. I'm still going to serve You anyway. See? Because my life is not my own, it's Yours. This year I'll be on 8 international trips. I'm trying to ask God to slow down. I'm reaping the fruit of the decisions I made when I was your age. Can I tell you how many people who went to Bible college with me and started in ministry who are now no longer in ministry? Are still wanting, waiting for God to do something? Who drove through and made fun of me because I was still serving when I should have been out preaching. And now God's blessing me. I have my wife now. I have my children. I have my house. I have my car. All the things I gave up to follow Him, He's blessed me with. And He'll do the same for you. But there's a brokenness that says, God, it's not my life. Ministry and calling and spiritual things does not feed me. There's no difference between preaching up there on Tuesday and Monday to the... It's an honor to preach up here during conference. I'm surprised every time they ask me. There's no difference, though, to me. Do you know what I do after I preach at conference? I go help Pastor Dave. I carry his Bible. Because there's no difference. There should be no difference. Spiritual things are only there to serve people. Just like getting a glass of water for someone. And sweetheart, if you can't do it when it's not comfortable, you won't do it when it is. See? I torture our young guys when they came up late for church. I thought you wanted to be a preacher. I do. Well, why are you late for church? Oh, you know, slept in late. What time did you go to bed? Well, I mean, what's going to happen when you're scheduled to preach at a 5,000 member church and you sleep in? I can be mean if I need to be. So if you can't be here on time, when it's not, when no one notices? What makes you think you'll be on time when it's important? What makes you think God will give you the opportunity? But when you tackle it, when it's the little things, faithfulness and loyalty and love and holiness, then it's no more different than when it's the big things. Because I promise you, listen, I promise you, the dreams that God gave you, He will make them come to pass if you pursue Him instead of pursuing them. You say amen. Because you're not just young people. We kind of did 30 and under just to keep all the old people out. I love being in charge because then I get to come. We have a few people snuck in here, I can see. You may not know it, but you're probably the most qualified people in the room to fulfill the call of God on your life. Because you're starting out on the right time, at the right age. You're not having to get rid of a bunch of junk. How many here pray a good amount every week? Hold your hand up. Look at you. See, you already know how many want to pray more. Hold your hand up. See, you know how many years I spent in full-time ministry not knowing I should be praying more? I didn't even know we were supposed to pray in tongues. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, but I didn't know. I thought it was just something you did in church to make yourself peculiar. I didn't know it would actually change you. I was 23 years old when I first ran into Pastor Dave. Already been in full-time ministry for 4 years. Before I realized, oh, you mean if you pray in tongues, it does something? Oh my God, why haven't I heard this in all the hundreds of services I've been in? So you're so light years ahead of probably anyone else in the room in the regular services already. And if you let God build you the right way, slowly, humbly, in brokenness, in humility, in maturity, you may not see anything great for a couple years. Don't worry. You don't look at those signposts. I should be international ministry right now. How old are you? 26. Sit down. No, you don't understand. I'm supposed to be traveling the world. God told me, sit down. One day you get to do all those things. But you can also have a strong family. You can also have a happy home. You can also be blessed financially and have peace in your finances. You can have all those things if you let God build you right and don't just chase. And this is one of the dangers that you'll run into because of the miracles and the anointing that is produced here in the revelation. We would get one young guy. I remember he wanted to be trained, and I said, okay, I'll close here in a minute, I promise. I said, okay, I'll train you. He said, all right. So excited. And then the first day I said, okay, there's a bunch of boxes in the back room. They need to be brought into the front office. That's at my desk working, and every time he carried a box from the back room, he'd walk by my office door, which was open, and you could hear him go, for like an hour. I said, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. I said, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Nothing's wrong. So there's something wrong with you. You got a chip on your shoulder. You need to get over it. I don't have a chip on my shoulder. I said, yes, you do. You're mad because you thought I was going to let you preach in the Bible college and I got you carrying boxes. No, that's not it. I said, that's it. I said, well, the day you learn there's no difference between carrying boxes and preaching is when you're ready to preach. No, that's not the problem. I said, okay, what's the problem? You don't understand. I'm called to youth. I'm called the youth ministry. I love youth. I eat it. I drink it. I sleep it. It's so much in fiber of my being. That's what I am. I'm a youth man. And I have an opportunity to go be a youth pastor at this place. And he just didn't like carrying boxes was the problem. And I said, okay, if that's true, how many young people have you led to the Lord this week? He said, none. Well, how many young people have you witnessed to this week? None. So what you're saying is you need a position and a paycheck and a title before you can do what you eat, drink, and sleep? I said, you're lying to me. You're mad because you want to be put up in ministry and you think that that is the goal. I said, ministry is work. That's how you spell ministry. W-O-R-K. It's no difference. God will make your dreams come true for you. He'll help you grow out of every problem you have. Overcome every struggle, every weakness. And you'll be doing what you love to do. It's a great thing to do what you love to do. And He'll give it to you, I promise. If you chase Him the right way. That's why we teach you. Don't chase ministry. Don't chase opportunity. Don't ever make a decision out of frustration or out of opportunity. Follow Him. Spend time with Him. Pray. Fast. Worship. Get all those things going in your life. And ministry will always be there. And one day you'll be doing what you love to do. And God will promote you. I am blessed today because of the hard decisions I made 20 years ago, 10 years ago, in following Him. And if you ask me 20 years ago, I didn't understand it. But today I'm so thankful. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. The two men we look up to here, in the ministry. There's lots of people here we respect and a lot of great ministries here, but the two men that you hold on to is Pastor Dave and Gary Carpenter. They're the ones who set doctrine. Learn from them. Learn from their messages. They're not always 100% right, I'm sure. That's why we pray in tongues. But I'm telling you, there's no man that I know. Out of all the preachers I met, I have more respect for Dave Roberson than any other man. And I get to see him when no one else sees him. In the back rooms, in his home, when he's not preaching. He's a man of love. Gary, what I love about Pastor, Brother Gary, is he's such a man of truth. Teaches truth. Works hard at truth. He's funny if you tell him something he doesn't like. I tried to tell him, Brother Gary, you don't write a letter? No, I don't write teaching letters. Oh, I said, I'm sure God will tell you to. He got like mad at me. He's like, no, if God tells me to, I'll do it. I was like, I'm sorry. Because he's so honest. See? Tim, his way he sees ministry and loving people, I've learned so much from these three men. I have so much respect for them. So I want to encourage you to get hold of those tapes and listen to them and feed yourself with them. Amen.